I think once we are back on this highliner and can signal to the other highliner that we have the ship and all of our crew, the opposition forces, the pirates, whatever you want to call them, you can see them disengaging from the Sardaukar. Will they ch will the Sardaukar chase? Well, yes, of course they will. But many of them do escape. Is this going to fit my? Yeah, it does. I believe those ships that do escape go around the planet, Ziv, and shortly a massive ship will come out into view, at least the size of a Highliner. It is a massive, looks to be a glowing ball. Kind of reminiscent of that glowing ball they found and had the energy ball earlier this month that was found in the vault and was being kept on in a stasis field. But this massive glowing ball, the escaping ships get into it. And when the Sardaukar ships come around the planet, it starts throwing massive beams of energy at them. Do they got a chance? Yeah, they start dodging and trying to escape and take evasive actions, but it appears to have been just enough to break up their attack, and that ball just folds out of existence. They don't need a Highliner, or they have their own engineer. Whatever they just did, they just blipped out. No wonder they were willing to give us the Highliner back. It's obsolete. And in doing so, they made a friend in the guild, or at least we'll be less hostile. Oh, this is ridiculously bad.
Knights of the Tabletop presents Ronin Roleplaying,
an actual play role-playing podcast run and played entirely solo by your host, Scormy.
Does that mean it's going to suck on ice? Probably.
Oh, he's not that bad. You've actually had this show before, right? The Master is an absolute joke.
Dwarf. Hand me over an ale and the popcorn. I smell a powerful failure coming on this episode. Get your own damn snacks, monster!
Pipe down, all of you! Now then, here's your host, Scormy!
Greetings all, and welcome back to Ronin Roleplaying Podcast. I'm your host, Scormy. Now, today we're starting off a new month, which means we're starting off a whole new game. And plans have changed. Words are hard. Chants have plunged. Anyway, so I was really excited to play the classic horror apocalyptic game, Innominy, this month. It's a game I've owned for like 25 years. I've never been able to run it for various reasons. It's been sitting on my shelf and I wanted to break it out and play it. And I've spent weeks trying to make characters and figure out the system. And I've come to the determination that it's just not worth it. There's a lot of good things about Innominy, don't get me wrong, but it's not worth the frustration. So, yeah, no. Instead, I went with a similar concept, a game that I've had for a year, I think, but I've been looking forward to playing it. It was scheduled for
several seasons further on because I didn't want it too close to a nominee because, oh my gosh, they're very similar in their concepts. You know, fighting demons. Or demons fighting against good, you know, whatever. But what we'll be playing today and for this month is Demon Hunters, a comedy of terrors. Now, yes, it is a comedy game. It is using a, I believe, a modified version of the Fate system. And it's super fun. And how do I know this? Because I know the source material. The Demon Hunters movies. If you haven't seen them, look them up online. Oh my God. Super fun. Especially the second one. I really enjoy that one. Now, we're doing something a little different with this today as well. We're not only playing Demon Hunters for this month, we're going to be using an extremely specialized version of the Game Master's Apprentice Oracle cards. You see, Larcenous Designs made a deck specifically for Demon Hunters. Yeah. Now, I was thinking of using this for a nominee because it would work. But since we tossed a nominee out on its ear, not literally, I'm keeping my books, obviously. Well, that just said I can't put my cards away, no. I had to break out the Demon Hunters game. I had to throw together a character and get ready to play some. And let me tell you a little bit about my character. Oh, well, first, for those who haven't seen the movies, I guess we should talk a little bit about the setting. It's a comedy based around the eternal battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. That doesn't mean in a Judeo-Christian manner, although that is involved. Why, yes, the director of the Order is St. Peter. Hasn't always been. For about 800 years he's been in charge. But hey, he does a good job. Anyway, point is, you've got gods and creatures of good fighting against beings of evil, gods, demons, whatever you want to say, vampires, werewolves, all kinds of stuff. Good and bad in an eternal struggle against each other. Throw in some mad science and general weirdness, and you have Demon Hunters. Like I said, if you can, watch the movies. It's worth it. And I think you can get them really cheap right now. I could be wrong. Anyway, so, who is my character? Well, I play Reese DeLuna. He's a smallish man, thin build, dark hair, glasses. He's in his mid-20s, but he's always thought of as younger than that by most. And he's generally bookish, right? Now, like with most fate-based or inspired games, you have aspects, approaches, disciplines, things like that, right? Stunts. So his general concept is he's an archivist. See, they have this thing called the Warehouse. And the Order of the Celestial Torch, being the general, primarily where your characters are, the group they play for, anybody can go to the Warehouse and get pretty much anything they need while they go out and hunt demons and monsters and whatnot, creatures of evil. Well, my base concept is that Reese works in the Warehouse. He finds things. He catalogs things. It's a boring job, but since he's a Omega 13, would be his chapter, and we'll get into that in a bit. Omega is like the lowest of the low. They usually don't stay Omegas for long because people above them die and that gets them promoted up to a higher group to replace them. Unless you're completely useless, in which case, you stay at Omega for a while. Anyway, Omegas tend to do stuff like, you know, sweep up in the warehouse and other grunt work. So that's what found him here. Oh, did I mention he's a werewolf? Not a bad werewolf. A good werewolf. Basically, he just doesn't have the stomach to commit evil. So, yeah, he's not in with that crowd. Although there are some evil werewolves. Don't get me wrong. They just don't keep him around because, well, he's small and bookish and generally a disappointment. Now, you have a trouble aspect, which is something you can invoke to get additional faith dice, that sort of thing. It's something that'll cause you to be a problem, that cause you issues. I am a socially inept loner. What a shock. So, in a social situation, I can invoke that, basically fail, and get faith dice back, right? That I can use later as needed to give myself bonuses. It's a good thing. Then you have up to three discipline aspects. I have the fringe discipline, because as a werewolf, I had to take fringe. I'll get into that specifics. Member of an ancient bloodline. The DeLuna family is a long history of werewolves. I'm just not considered very good at it. I'm not big and beefy and strapping and, you know, badass like the rest of my family. Oh no, I'm the runt. So I ended up working in a warehouse. Yay me. For connected to research and development, I have fluent in Dewey Decimal. Oh yes, I'm a good archivist. And for combat and tactics, I'm training to live up to my family legacy. I mean, nobody thinks I'm capable, so I'm teaching myself how to fight. Since my family sure as hell didn't, but hey, whatever. Now, approaches are kind of like attributes. They range between 10 and 4. I'm very clever. I have careful and quick as my next two. I'm sneaky and forceful are the next two down, and my lowest one is flashy. I'm not a very flashy guy. Shocking, I know. Disciplines? Well, let's start with research and development, because that is what I am best at. I have a 10 in it. I have an 8 in fringe, werewolf. As a werewolf, I have to put one of my attributes in there that isn't a 4. I have to be trained, so I threw an 8 in it. I only have one other trained thing, and that's combat and tactics, because I'm obviously training myself to fight. And then everything else, covert ops, mystic arts, and social engineering are all 4s. Untrained. They suck. Which is fine, because I can use fringe to replace, like my werewolf abilities, to replace, say, covert ops. I can roll an 8 there instead of a 4, because, well, that only makes sense. Anyway, so, let's see, I got a devotion of 3, which means I start with 3 faith dice, and my stunts that I created for myself are search engine. I get a +2 to research and development when I quickly, using quick, look for something in the warehouse. Okay. I'm underestimated. I get a +2 when I cleverly attack an opponent that underestimates my capabilities due to my looks. And I'm one of the tribe. Once per session, I auto-succeed on a social test as my opponent recognizes my family connections. And literally, That's it. That's my character. So, why don't we go to the deck, the Game Master's Apprentice Demon Hunter's deck, and come up with some ideas of where to start. Now, the idea being, of course, we're going to be playing Warehouse. We're in the Warehouse. That's the name of this month's episode. So, I figure my focus is on the Warehouse, so I don't need to look for a location. What I need is a catalyst. Something to get things going. Oh, before we get started, I wanted to explain one thing about my chapter. Now, there are chapters. Everybody, it's supposed to be your group. This is meant to be a group game, obviously. And you have multiple players. One of them's a leader. You usually have a cipher, although that can be a non-player character. And they form a chapter of the order. Okay. Now, starting chapters tend to be omegas. Okay, cool. I figure 13 is unlucky, so I'm Omega 13. Now, here's the thing. The way I see it is, my character keeps getting underestimated, keeps being seen as not useful for field operational work. So, I keep getting overlooked for advancement. Whereas most Omegas who do well move up. I'm seen as too useful in the Warehouse. So, I keep getting overlooked, which is fine right now because I like it here. I'm good at this. It's not what I want to do the rest of my life, but for now, sure. I'm okay with it. But as I'm getting better with my combat skills, I think I'm going to need to break out at some point. Will it be this month? We don't know. Why don't we find out by drawing for a catalyst? That's an interesting way to start. So, I'm going to say it's night. I'm working the overnight shift in the Warehouse, and there's a naked man standing before me. That's right. That's what I drew. There's a naked man here. Now the question is, do we have a name? His name is Victor. Victor Naked Man. Right. So I'm guessing I'm sitting at a desk with a desk lamp. And there's this, it's like, you've got this main entrance, and there's just massive, massive piles of boxes and shelving with records and whatnot all over the place. And this warehouse is just massive. So there's just row after row after row after row after row of all kinds of stuff. Think of a huge big box store just with crates and records and books and whatever. And so my desk is just a metal, old style, like army desk facing towards the front doors, back to the rest of the warehouse. I have a desk lamp. I've got some paperwork on the desk, a waste paper basket, and a naked dude standing in front of the, about maybe 10 feet back from the desk. I'm thinking he's probably about a little over 6 foot, fairly well built, you know, muscular. I'm guessing white dude? No, so let's just say Hispanic, okay. Victor's, that'll do. And, does he have any gear with him? Yes. So, I'm guessing he's carrying, like, a duty bag with weapons and whatnot. And he's got it set down on the ground beside him. And how about he's not completely naked? There's, like, thin strips of shreds of clothing hanging here or there, like the cuffs of his shirts still attached by the hands, and maybe there's a suspender hanging over one shoulder, one boot on. The rest are all shredded or falling apart. Does he look rather surprised by this? Emphatic yes. And I'll be writing on the paperwork in front of me. I did tell you to be careful with the jar, didn't I?
But I did not know you meant that careful.
How do you mean that careful? Glass jar. Careful. Try not to break jar. Seems pretty reasonable, right?
But you did not say what it would do.
My apologies for the accent. You asked for these something that would stop a mummy, right? I gave you a jar full of bacteria that eats cloth and would allow you to dissolve away its wrapping armor so that you could then fight it, right? You and your chapter should have had it easy.
Why are you trying to blame this on me?
I'm not the one standing here in no clothing.
Speaking of which, can I get some more?
Yep. I'll
push a button on my phone, speakerphone.
Acquisitions. Gonna need a bio suit. Make it Mylar. I don't know if he's still got some of these microbes on him. Oh, and he's gonna need to be. This guy's gonna be need led down to the decon showers. Oh. Look to make sure he's standing behind the yellow line. Is he? He's got a toe hanging over it. Agent, I suggest you step back behind the yellow line.
What? What do you mean? I'm at the yellow line. Why is this such a big deal?
Let's see. Yep. I'm drawing for all these, by the way, these ideas. Whether they're yes or no. And, a couple little lasers beams will come down from the up above and sight in on his middle of his chest. Because none of us want to take your microbes home with us. Step back behind the line, please.
This is complete bullshit.
As he kicks the nylon, or the canvas bag full of gear beside him. Does that hurt him?
Yes! There's a slight sound of a snap, and he starts bouncing up and down, crying out.
That was a injured toe.
Does the canvas start to dissolve?
Yes.
Oh, good. Now we're going to have to replace the bag. Thank you ever so much. I don't think I'm making friends here. So, let's see. I think a dude in a biohazard suit will come out. Hand a, like a plastic bag. Or a plastic-wrapped package. To the naked man. And, kind of motion for him to follow.
Does the gentleman follow?
Yes. And another guy in a biohazard suit will come out and start collecting up the gear and the bits of rapidly dissolving cloth.
I'll sign the paperwork and file it away, and I'll look at the guy in the biohazard suit that's cleaning stuff up.
I think that's lunch, Charlie. I'll be back in half an hour.
Does the guy notice?
No, he doesn't seem to care.
But it works for me. I know everybody here. I know all their names. But half of them barely even recognize that I'm here other than, oh, somebody's working the desk. Okay, whatever. And so I will head back to the break room. I'm thinking this is going to be upstairs, kind of about halfway down, maybe, you know, a 20-minute walk. Luckily, I get a half hour for lunch, so I'm overnight. Who cares? But, ooh, wait. Am I the type of werewolf that my clothes don't get destroyed when I change? Yes. It's some sort of magical lycanthropy then. So, or no, no. That seems weird. I think, no, I'm not going to switch. I was thinking I could get there faster if I switched into my werewolf form, but instead of going to the break room, I could just go to the vending machines nearby. Not exactly healthy, but I will have more time on my break to actually do some quick combat training off out of the view of others. Yeah, I know the areas where nobody goes. So, yeah, I think I'll be a little careful in my, I'll go get a couple energy bars and a drink and snack on that while I go into one of the broom closets, I think, off out of the way. Probably hasn't been used in a while. And I can quickly strip down, switch into a my werewolf form. Let's say it's a big enough room for that. And it's not really so much a closet, more of a storage area. With lots of cleaning stuff, not so much storage, because this is a warehouse. Anyway, I'll switch up and practice fighting maneuvers that I've been reading about and whatnot. So that's invoking an aspect. Not that it's really helping me any, but it's more of a role-playing thing. I'm not trying to do something per se. I don't have to make a roll. But if I did, well, boy. Anyway, so let's see. When I come back after my half hour of redressed and enjoyed my two energy bars and soda, I think I'm going to get myself, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to a fruit roll-up on the way back. Yeah. I'm feeling generally pretty good about things today. Things are going quite well. And I'm halfway through my day. Only 6 more hours to go. So, anything else? Any new catalyst? I'm thinking, interesting. Uncanny art appears. Okay. So, let's see. I'm thinking that when I get back to my desk, I'm lucky that I put all my papers away and filed them away, because everything's wet. Everything. Well, they came out and they had to hose down the ground to wash away and clear away all the microbes that had, like, shed it off of this guy. And so they got the desk, they got the floor for 50 feet in all directions. They hosed it down. And I'll just, okay. Let's see. Do I happen to have a towel? Yes, an emphatic yes. Apparently, this is not the first time such a thing has happened. So I will break out the towel and clean up my desk and everything. And while I'm doing that, I hear the doors open and close, the main entry. And a moment later, there'll be a... I'll notice a figure walk up while I'm drying off the desk and set a brown paper wrapped package on my desk. It's probably about, I don't know, 20, 22 inches long, maybe a foot deep and not quite a foot high. Kind of like a big rectangle, only kind of rounded edges. And I'll look up and do I see a typical delivery man? No. Okay. Do I see some form of supernatural being? Yes. I'm thinking it's a humanoid figure wearing a dark brown jumpsuit, like, you know, a UPS delivery driver, only that's a corpse. And it holds out a clipboard and goes, yeah. It has a pen in one hand, clipboard in the other. So I will take the pen, sign the clipboard, hand him back the pen. And it turns and shambles out. Alrighty then. So I will look at the packaging for any sort of markings. Are there any? No. Okay. That's unusual. I'm thinking it's also tied with twine. Tied closed with twine, like a bow on top. So, question is, do I want to untie it and unwrap it? Well, it is part of my job, I would think, to take in deliveries, properly process them, and send them off to either storage or to be delivered to whatever research and development department needs to get their hands on it for further study. So, yeah, I guess I'm untying it. Now, we know it's some sort of art piece. Can I get any ideas of what it's like? Well, as I unwrap it, I smell unearthly spices. Okay. Interesting. I'm thinking it's probably wrapped in paper, then it's got bubble wrap all over around it. And so I will pull out a box knife and cut away the bubble wrap. And in fact, I'm going to save the bubble wrap for later. You know, as a nice little tactile treat for myself when I get home, popping the bubble wrap. Don't tell me you don't enjoy that. Everybody enjoys popping bubble wrap. It's kind of one of the fringe benefits to the job. Do I have any other ideas, descriptions of... Well, as I get the bubble wrap off, I'm going to say it's wrapped in another cloth. But now I can smell, in addition to the spices, kind of salty smell, like you're smelling ocean spray. If you've ever been to the ocean and down near the rocks when the tides, you know, you got a high tide and it's splashing against the rocks and the air just gets infused with ocean spray. I used to live on the coast. That is an excellent smell. Almost as good as a thunderstorm. Anyway, and I'm going to say that actually the wrapping is wet. And in fact, it's like a little bit of water, like seawater, leaking out from the bottom, like it's soaked down to the bottom. It was only being held in by the bubble wrap. So now there's a little bit of salt water on my desk. Hmm. So is this some form of statue? Emphatic, yes. And I'm gonna draw and see if I can get, what does it look like? A grimy, broken crown. I think I'm gonna modify that. It's going to, instead of being grimy, it's like lichen encrusted. But you can tell underneath it, there's like, I don't know if you've ever seen gold when it gets, when it starts to basically rust, how green it gets. So it's like that with lichen all over it, but it appears it's probably gold underneath and gem encrusted. Is this roughly man-sized, like for a man's, you know, a human head? No. So larger than a human head? No. Okay, so this is for a smaller than human head, or a child's head, maybe. Yes, so interesting. So you've got a small gold jewel crown, lichen and rusting. Okay, that's different. Is there any sort of markings inside of this, a card or anything like that, that will give me an idea where this came from? Yes. All right. Does it say where it is supposed to be addressed to? Where, what department this is supposed to go to? That's an emphatic yes. So is it from a high-ranking chapter of the order? No. Is it from the order at all? No. Is it even addressed? Do we know where it came from? No, we do not. So we have like a little note saying, send to Dr. Tamora. I'm sorry, Tamora. Dr. Tamora, Order of the Celestial Torch Warehouse. Dr. Tamora. Is Tamora part of the Antiquities Department? Yes. Okay. Dr. Tamora Antiquities. So, normally wrapping materials are not that important, but I will take the card and I will get a bin, like a basket, plastic basket that I can put the crown into, keeping it wrapped in its cloth, and I will attach the card to the handles of the basket, the card that was sent with it, and then I will fill out some initial filings on this, assign it a file number in the system, put it into the system as an initial description of the item, when it arrived, condition when found, all this sort of thing. Even take a couple digital photos and upload them into the system so it's got all angles of the crown. My desk is good for that. Just, lay it out in there and take the pictures. I'll even describe, item came in wet with ocean water, seemingly wet with ocean water, smelled of sea spray and spices, yada yada yada, basically all this compiled in. I'm good at what I do. I know what they're looking for. I don't want them calling me in the middle of the day wanting further information.
They're getting exactly what I found. I'll even note down the company that delivered it. Was it from a particular company? Yes. So, did they leave a receipt, by the way? Well, yeah, of course. Okay. I didn't mention that before, but that only makes sense. So that'll get filed in all that. This will all get filed in paperwork, blah, blah, blah. Start a file on it. Good to go. Scan the receipt. All of that. It's all digital. There's paper filings. And then I will take that basket, secure it into another secured tote, because I don't know how valuable this thing is, and then deliver it down to Antiquities. Before I walk away from my desk, though, I will leave a little note saying, away from desk, back in 5 minutes. Again, I'm good at what I do. I mean, it's the middle of the night, nobody can but zombies come in, but whatever. And naked men. I'm sorry, naked idiots. I told him to be careful with that jar. I mean, he was gone for 2 hours. And he managed to break it. Whatever. Not my problem. He's the one who has to pay for it. He'll have to, answer for the loss of those enzymes. Those bacteria, I'm sorry. Anyway. So, I'll wander down the hallway. So I'm sure I know exactly how to get to where I'm going. Especially since I've worked here a while. Let's see. I'm guessing that all the offices here, the research locations, whatnot, what there are here, are locked up for the night. But it's possible someone's working overnight. Is there anyone in this department? Yeah. Okay. Is the door locked? No. Okay, so I will go on in. It wouldn't happen to be Dr. Tomorrow working, would it? Well, her office is lit up, so that's something. So where do we go from here? Well, I guess I'll take it right to her office. Since she's there, I can leave it on her desk, since it's directed specifically to her. I'll go up and lightly rap on the door. Is there a response? Yes, so does she invite me in? Yes, okay. Come in. So I'll open the door. I'm going to say that this is a smallish office, but it only appears smallish because there's stuff everywhere. Her desk is covered in everything from ancient statues to even older pictograms and just books and papers, and she's even listening to audio recordings on a big old reel-to-reel tape recorder. Does it happen to be listening to the same audio tape from Evil Dead 2? No, but along those lines. If you've ever seen Evil Dead 2, you'll know of what I speak. Now, apparently she listens to such things for fun. Now, or at least to keep her focused. Never know when a deadite will jump out. Anyway, so I'll just kind of look around. I'm sorry, doctor, I have a delivery and I'm holding this, over 2 foot wide tote. And she'll look up. I'm thinking probably mid-50s, graying hair, darker complexion woman, thick glasses on. And she'll just look around and is like, and I'll say,
delivery just came in specified for you. Oh, is it wet? Very. Oh, good. Good. Here. She wipes a bunch of stuff off the desk. Is it anything valuable? Yes. And I'll just quickly put it down and... Can I get you anything, doctor? Let's check. Oh, it's an emphatic yes, but I'm thinking instead of getting something, she'll say, No. Lock all the doors on your way out. Can do. And I'll lock her office door and close it, and then I'll go lock the antiquities door on my way past it. I would say that the weirdest people work for the order, but that kind of goes without saying. I mean, I really don't have any place to judge. You know, ancestry and all. Let's see. Now, when I head back towards my desk, do I hear anything? Or... Well, I hear wet choking coughs. Huh. Do they come from the direction of the entryway in my desk? Yes. All right, what do I see when I get there? Well, there's a figure standing there facing away from me, like standing beside the desk, but kind of off towards one of the stacks and stacks and stacks of wooden crates. And they have floor-length, dark, braided hair. I'm thinking they're wearing like a dark-colored pea coat. That's like a navy type of coat. It's hangs down at least mid-thigh, if not towards the knee on most people. And as I approach the desk, like heading back to work, I smell polluted water and dead fish. Yep. That's something. Now, I have an aspect, training to live up to legacy. I think that's more than just training myself to fight. I mean, if otherwise, it would just be combat. This is combat and tactics. Which, to me, also says kind of a danger sense. And this seems a little weird to me. So I think I'm going to use combat and tactics and careful as kind of a way to assess the situation, to see if it looks dangerous to me. Standard difficulty. So I have a 6 and an 8. So it's a D8 and a D6. I'm not going to use any of my faith dice. Well, that's not great. I probably should have used werewolf, like to sniff out danger, but yeah, my fringe ability. That'd have been 2d8s, but I can take a devil dice. Or what that is basically there's a pool of other dice you can take. And these, I can take up to 3 of them. And I can take them one at a time and add to my roll until I get what I need, right? But those dice that I end up taking, when I'm done, get handed off to the game master that they can use later. Now here's the thing, I'm my own game master. So Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to work that, but I need to succeed on this, I think. So, I'm going to take one and see where it goes. Okay, that was enough. I needed 10. I now have 12. I have succeeded. Is this dangerous? Well, yes. Something does not look right. Okay. I will set this one aside. It is a devil dice that belongs to the game master. Now then. I'll just come up kind of bored, push my glasses up with one ear and, you know, push up in the middle. Can I help you? I'll say, trying to look meek. A watery voice will say, still looking away. Just kind of a wet, phlegmy voice.
Yes. A package was just delivered here, I believe. I believe it was sent in error. You know, mistakes with shipping. They happen all the time. I'm going to need my package back. If you please.
I also hear the faint piping of a flute. A discordant flute piping in the, like, at the edge of hearing. It's very odd. Package? Oh, yes. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there was a package because it's all torn, you know. Actually, I would have thrown that away, but it would be right in the waste paper basket, the wrapped paper and twine. So, oh, yes. About an hour ago, I believe. Yeah. It was deemed to be garbage, so, unfortunately, it was thrown out. If you'd like to check in the dumpster... Oh, wait. Yeah, garbage collection just occurred a bit ago, so... If you run, they usually head down towards the wharf, so... You might still be able to catch them if you're quick. Does this elicit a reaction? Yeah. Do they freak out and get angry? Yes, obviously, yes.
Die, cur!
As it turns and it's... Well, yeah, it's a fish person. I guess you call them gill men in this game, but whatever. And it's, wearing a wig. Why it's wearing... Pippi Longstocking type, you know, braids that hang down past its ass. I don't know, but Fishman angry. Fishman called me a cur. That implies it knows my heritage? Oh, let's see. Oh, I should write that down. Fishman angry. Okay, so do I want to fight? Well, I certainly could. That'd be one way of going. Or, using my combat and tactics, and sneaky, it's not quick, it's not clever. Okay, so I'll use sneaky and my tactics. So that's only 2d6s. These dice are rolling horribly for me. I'm going to use a faith dice. And that gets me exactly what I needed. I'm going to call it easy to push the help button at my desk. And remember those two guys up on the balcony? And the laser spots that ended up on the naked man's chest? Yeah, so those kind of lasers would kind of zoom in and point at its forehead. Like I said, heading towards the wharf, you probably know the way. You know, because he's a gill man. Does he do something unfortunate? That's an emphatic yes. I'm thinking he grabs the front of the desk, because he's not standing behind the line. I should have asked him to stand behind the line, but anyway, he's not standing behind the line. He grabs the front of my desk and just reefs it, flipping it over my head and a good 50 feet back into the stacks behind me. And that desk is bolted to the ground. What was, that ripped the bolts straight out of the floor. So, desk goes flying. I'm gonna say, I duck. And how about our gentlemen up above? How do they react to that? Well, they do their jobs. And the air is filled with the smell of fish brains. As his head, I see desk flip over me and go flying into the distance and crash onto the ground just noisily. Desk lamp goes flinging off in another direction. Other stuff that was on my pencils and all that goes flying off another way. And then his head just turns to mist with two massive gunshots basically at once. Does that drop him? No! It lurches forward. Oh, let's see. What would be my best reaction to that, given my circumstances? Well, I'm thinking that I have a wheeled chair. Do I have a wheeled desk chair? Yes. Yes, I do. And I push and go, I'm following the desk back as fast as I can. Just back up, back up, back up, back up, back up, while more gunshots ring out, shredding the what's left of the gill man. I'm guessing some other guys will rapidly come out. Yes. With submachine guns and swords and a flamethrower. And they proceed to completely annihilate and destroy what's left. And then burn it. And then they come out, scoop up the majority of what's left, and then use the hoses and hose off the cement, leaving everything nice and clean after about 20 minutes work. So, does the doctor come out as well? That, what's her name? Tamora. No. She must have, she clearly could have heard what was going on, but is likely, well, she has to be locked in, right? Maybe she knew what was coming. Don't know. I think I earned another break.
Well, I guess we should call it there. So, until next time, remember, you can always drop by scormy.com for blog, Discord server, podcasts, you know, all your Squirmy-related needs. And until next time, I'm Squirmy, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Hello again. We didn't expect anyone to actually make it until the end of the show. Demon, be a dear and wake up the announcer, will you?
Do I have to? He's such a dick. Takes one to know one, eh? I will bathe in your blood, little man.
Oh, get out of the way, you idiots. I'll take care of it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ronin Roleplaying. Please join us again next time for another rousing adventure with your host, Scormie.